From an early age, I believed I had an extra amount of imagination. I did not come up with that assessment on my own. Many people had told me that. They said I had an artistic imagination because I could draw a cat that looked like a cat and a horse that looked like a horse. They praised me for drawing a house with a door that was proportional to the people who stood next to it. They admired the tree next to the house, its thick trunk and smaller branches populated with tiny green leaves. They thought I was creative for putting a bird in the tree. People stared at my drawings, shook their heads, and said I had a wonderful imagination. At first, I wondered why others could not do what came naturally to me. All you had to do was draw what was there in front of your eyes, be it a real cat or a cat in a photo. And after you had drawn it a number of times, it was easy to draw it from memory. I was so good at drawing that by age 12, I was asked by my piano teacher to give his 8-year-old daughter drawing lessons in exchange for my piano lessons. I probably gave the girl instructions like these. The eye should be drawn in the middle, between the nose, and not on the forehead the way you have it. Just draw it the way it is. I later learned that a good eye is not the same as a good imagination. My high school art teacher, an artist himself, wrote that conclusion on my final semester report card. Has admirable drawing abilities, but lacks imagination or drive, which are necessary to a deeper creative level. The comment was sharply wounding at the time. He did not say that I needed to use more of my imagination. He simply said I lacked it, that and depth. After my last year in high school, I did nothing further with my artistic inclinations, save the occasional sketch and doodle. I do know that had I continued, I would not have gone in the direction of abstract art. Even today, I am often puzzled by abstract art, those 10-foot-high paintings with a minimal dot of color or squiggles. At museums, my husband and I turn to each other and jokingly utter the words of cultural Philistines, and they call that art. I now remember there were several afternoons in class when my art teacher instructed us to create a drawing using only colored shapes. Whatever I did, that was likely what sealed his opinion that I had no imagination or depth, at least not for the complexities of abstract art, which I now recall was the kind of art he made. I recently took up drawing again when I joined a monthly nature journaling class, which has as much of an emphasis on journaling as plein air sketching. I began by drawing birds. Once again, I heard the same compliments from friends and family, that I had a good eye. I can draw a bird that looks like a bird. This time, however, I recognized that my abilities stopped there. I can draw a likeness, but I can't easily create backgrounds more complicated than a branch with a few leaves. I can't add a new context, falling buildings or a melting ice cap, or anything else that would enable the figurative drawing to represent an idea, say global warming through the iris of a raven. As it turned out, everyone in the class had a good eye, and a number of them were especially skilled and also imaginative. Our teacher, a naturalist artist and author, told us anyone can learn to draw. A view I've heard expressed by numerous artists since then. You can acquire techniques, like how to block out the shape of your subject, to use the negative space around a figure to see its shape, to use shading to represent the anatomical structure of birds, amphibians, and large mammals. You can play with a mix of watercolors, gouache, and graphite. You can get by perfectly well with just a pencil and journal book. Or you can feed your artistic needs by draining your savings account, buying mechanical pencils, blending tools, gel pens, a set of 12 soft and hard graphite pencils, a good brand of watercolor pencils, then an even better brand of watercolor pencils, an embossing tool, watercolor brushes with built-in reservoirs sketchbooks and then really good sketchbooks, zoom and macro binoculars, a spotting scope, a field research bag for carrying your sketch kit, plus a portable stool for sitting in the field for hours.